When I lived a long, long, long time ago, I finally got to see the one thing I had waited my entire life. I finally got to see the thing I had hoped for. My name is Simeon, and I was a priest in the Temple of Jerusalem, the temple to the one true God. I would help with the sacrifices that people would bring, sacrifices of thanksgiving, and sacrifices for the atonement of sin. I spent my entire life into my old age there, but even as a young priest, early in my ministry, I realized the corruption amongst my elder priests. I would see the elder priests, and they were more interested in fighting for control, raising their own prestige, becoming great in their own eyes, grabbing onto power. They were more interested in their own power than they were in worshiping the one true God and in helping out his people to worship him correctly. I was born into a free Israel, an independent Israel, free from all control from the outside. And when the civil wars began breaking out, my father told me and all of his sons, he said, "Don't get involved. Don't fight on either side. Don't take a side, because these conflicts, these wars, these battles have nothing to do with the will of God and everything to do with the desires of men." Out of all of my brothers, only I listened. All of them were killed in these conflicts. And after these conflicts were over, Israel was left so weak that we were rife for conquest by the Roman Empire. I was serving in the temple the day that Pompey came into Jerusalem. I was serving as a priest in the temple when Pompey came, and he not only violated the temple space, he violated the Holy of Holies. He went into our most sacred space. I thought God would strike him dead, but he didn't. I was surprised, but I shouldn't have been surprised. For over 400 years, ever since the death of the prophet Malachi, God had remained silent in Israel. He had not spoken a single word. Ever since Israel returned from our exile, we no longer worshiped false gods. We no longer bent our knee to worship idols made of stone and wood and gold and silver. But as the years went on and as I served as a priest, I saw the Sadducees steal from the poor. I saw the Pharisees lie to gain power. I saw my own fellow priests collaborate with the Romans to get rid of their rivals. No, we didn't worship false gods anymore. We didn't bend our knee to idols made of gold and silver. But we still committed idolatry and we worshiped ourselves. When would God send his Messiah to save us from the darkness, the corruption of our own hearts? I know what you're thinking. If things were so bad, why did I stay? If things were so bad, why didn't I leave? Where else would I go? All of Israel came to worship God at the temple. There was no other temple to worship God. I know what you're thinking. Why didn't I go? But all of Israel came to worship at the temple of God. Both the corrupt and the faithful to God came to worship there. When I was young, I had this sense that the Spirit of God would visit me every so often. And then it happened so much that I suspected that he never left. One day I was walking into the temple to do my duties, and I was walking through the court of Gentiles, which was the furthest into the temple complex Gentiles were allowed to walk. It wasn't very far. And while I was still in the court of the Gentiles, I felt the Spirit of God move, and I heard God say to me, and he said, Simeon, you will not taste death until you see my Messiah come. I was immediately filled with joy, but it turned into torture as year after year, decade after decade, I saw corruption grow. I saw our selfishness grow. The priests proclaimed that God was the God above all things, that he was the God to all nations, and yet I saw them fail to share the news about this God with the Roman soldiers who stood outside the gates of the temple every day. I saw false Messiah after false Messiah rise up and be supported by the priests, by the people, only to fail. I saw orphans and widows neglected and taken advantage of. When would God send his Messiah? Finally, when I was 85 years old, long after everyone I had ever known or loved had passed away, I was in my home because I hadn't been selected to serve in the temple that day. And I felt this nudging, this pushing from the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't hear an angel. I just felt this push, like when you see a man on the side of the road and you feel the Spirit of God tell you to go talk to him, or if you see a weeping child and you feel God push you to go console her. I felt that, and as the pushing grew, I finally got up and I started walking to the temple. I didn't live far from the temple, but it took a long time because I was old. And as I came, I looked at the temple. It was beautiful. The white marble, the gold inlay. Every time I saw it, I was amazed. It reminded me, as glorious as this temple was, God was even more glorious. And I walked through the court of Gentiles, past the Sorek, which was the gate that kept the Gentiles onto their side. And I wandered aimlessly through the temple. I didn't know where I was going. I wandered into the court of the women, which was as far as women were allowed to go. Men and women were filled in the temple that day. There were people everywhere, and I wandered around, and I passed by this elderly woman, Anna, and I smiled. This dear woman. She was married for only 7 years, and after 7 years, her husband died, and she remained a widow for 84 years. I thought I was old. She must have been 105, 110. But every day she would come to the temple and she would sit and pray and fast. It was such a simple ministry, but so very powerful. And more than that, she was a prophetess. She began speaking the words of God. After almost 400 years of silence, prophecy had returned to Israel. God was speaking again in Israel, and he chose to speak through this dear woman. Many of my fellow priests, well, most of my fellow priests, couldn't stand her. They were angry at her. They thought she was mad. They thought she was insane. They were jealous of her. But every time I saw her, I began to cry. I still didn't know why I was there. There were people everywhere. There was couples coming to bring their children, have them dedicated at the temple after their children, 40 days after their children had been born, because that was when you dedicated children. And there was families coming to make sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. And there was people coming with tears in their eyes to make sacrifices for their sins. I wandered around. I shuffled around. I didn't know what I was there for. And then I saw this young couple, a man and a woman. And the woman was holding a child, an infant. And the moment I saw that child, I knew. I just knew. This was the light of things hoped for. This was the one who would come and take the corruption of our hearts away. This was the King. This was the Savior. This was the Anointed One. This was the Messiah. The family was looking for a priest, and it was good that I looked like a priest. And the man rushed up to me, and he said, "My name is Joseph, and we're coming to dedicate our child to the Lord in the temple today." And the woman began handing the infant to me. And Joseph said, "This is my wife, Mary." And as Mary so timidly handed the child to me, she almost whispered and she said, "His name is Jesus. Jesus. Yeshua. Joshua." Do you know what that name means? It means God. It means Yahweh saves. I held that child in my hands. And normally we would speak a blessing over the child. But as I looked at him, so unassuming, so helpless, just 40 days old, suddenly I felt the Spirit of God fill my lungs, and I said, "At last, Master, you can release your servant as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. It's been made evident in the presence of all these people. And he will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people, Israel." With trembling hands, I handed the child back to his mother. And then I blessed the family. They were excited. They were elated. They knew who this child was. They looked like peasants. They looked like they were poor, but I knew God must have trusted them with the most important child ever born. And as I stood there, I suddenly felt very, very old. And then there was a flash, an image, a vision that I saw. I saw this child, Jesus, grow up to be a man. And I saw the scribes and the priests opposing him and attacking him and attacking his character. I stumbled forward, and even though Mary was holding on to the baby, she still managed to grab me and steady me. And I looked into her eyes. They were so young. And I said, "This child will cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and he will be a sign that is to be opposed." And then I saw another flash. I saw a tree, a cross, blood, nails, a tomb. And I said to Mary, and a sword will pierce your soul, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Can you imagine the horror? Can you imagine the horror of a mother holding her child and realizing that his entire life would be one of torment and pain, that he would experience rejection? It was a nightmare. And as I stood pondering, thinking, all of a sudden Anna, old Anna, came running at us. No, skipping at us like a little girl with her hands in the air. And she was saying, praise God, for his deliverance has come. His salvation is here. Praise him, praise his name. Salvation has come to the Gentiles and to his people Israel. Praise God. And I didn't know what to think. The same spirit dwelled within her that dwelled within me. And yet she felt joy while I felt horror. And then I realized I understood what God was doing. The joy of my salvation, the joy of the transformation of our dark hearts, the joy of the forgiveness of my sins would be paid for by the suffering of the Messiah, of this child. The family, Joseph and Mary, brought Jesus back home to Nazareth, where he would grow to become the man, the Savior he was to become. I never saw Jesus again in my life, but I understood that God had led me to meet Jesus that day so that I would understand that his suffering would transform my life, would transform the hearts of all who believed, all who followed him. What about you? What should you do when God leads you to Jesus? When God leads you to Jesus, you should receive his joyous salvation because it came from his suffering. His suffering has brought you comfort. His agony has brought you peace. His death will bring you life, a new life. God led you to this place today. I know many of you think you came here out of obligation. Some of you think you came here because you had a schedule. No, you didn't come here out of a force of your own will. God led you to this place today so that you could hear about Jesus. More than that, he led you to this place so that you could meet Jesus. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do? His suffering has brought you peace. His rejection has brought you acceptance and adoption to God. His death and resurrection has brought you life and new life. Accept him. Receive him. Follow him.